And I'm sure you will know this from Sunday school, maybe not even have to look at the board.
Concentrate in you and worship Christ the Lord. Lord, we pray, Lord, that our worship and our prayer
prays this evening will be as a sweet smelling savour, and into the nostrils of the Holy God, in the name of Jesus Christ we pray. We thank you, Lord, for Calvary. We thank you for thy precious blood, and we pray now that you will cover each one afresh by thy blood in the name of Jesus Christ. We bind the strong man now and we spoil his goods in the name of Jesus Christ. And Lord, we lift up your word this evening, we lift up your precious name, and we say that everything be subject unto the living of the Holy Ghost in Jesus Christ. Name I pray, giving God the glory. Amen.
Amen.
One thing, another hymn, 626. I was thinking, fatal sin, seeking to rise no more. 626 in the red book. Well, wonderful. Now it is, love written me.
I'm not afraid to die.
takes my hand in his, ever he loves to bless. He will every fear dispel, satisfy every need. All who heed his loving call, find rest in the coming of the
Lord.
Well, I'm sure everyone knows.
you very much, Ari. Mr. Gary McKinstry from Banbridge, and our speaker tonight, Pastor Thomas McKinstry. I'm not too sure if they're related, are you?
Cousins?
Oh, they are. Well, it's great to have you both with us. It's the first Saturday night. Pastor Thomas has been with us, but he's been here to do the Bible study on Wednesday morning. So it's good to have him back again, and also welcome his cousin Gary, leading as well as singing. So I want just to welcome you too. It's good to die to see you when that weather was changed yesterday and it wasn't so good. You just don't know how many it's going to turn out on Saturday night. So it's good to see you. We sent a wee number out and appreciate you coming. Thank you very much indeed. You're very, very welcome. Now, I just want to tell you, some of you will know what's happening because we're coming to the end of the season. And the next meeting, the next Wednesday morning meeting, will be our final prayer meeting and Bible study for this year. And the speaker will be Elizabeth Conn from Portadown. This is popular here, and she does a great Bible study. So if you have a free morning and you could come out at 11 o'clock, we're sort of finished around 12 o'clock or a little bit later, and we'd be glad to see you. I'm certain there's plenty of room you can see here for space out wherever you want to sit. And then next Saturday night, it's hard to believe we're into December, 4th of December. There's only these leaflets remaining, and if you want to get the leaflet for the last bit, it's our ministry and praise night, and take them with you. And even if you want to just cut that bit off and give it to somebody, it might be nice to see the news, you know, they've been printed. But most of you know who's taken part, but I'm going to tell you again anyway. The speaker will be Evangelist John Weir, and John coming there for how many is going to be here. The last time he was here on a Saturday evening was February 22nd of last year, and I can tell you it was 143 here, about that. Give a more truth. So if that blood comes tonight, so again, I think we're going to have to organise chairs, and could you just say if any kind gentlemen could spare a moment or two after the service tonight. There's a lot of chairs sitting around, even in the back there where the petition is, and around the back. Any of those colours of chairs, you could put them, you know, where the spaces are, to maybe start for us, and then we know we'll come next Saturday. Before next Saturday, just maybe how many is going to come, just how many we'll actually have. We have the gallery, of course, as well, and I wouldn't be surprised if that's people are up there too. Now, the people that are taking part are as follows. So is John Porter from Ballymena. John Porter has a lovely voice, a lovely deep voice, and he tends to be like favourites for John with Jim Reeves type of songs. Favours that sort of singing. And he probably would come with his guitar, but he also plays a keyboard. I don't think he'd have his keyboard with him, but he'd probably have his guitar. And the lady soloist is Marilyn Nesbitt, who hasn't been here for quite a while. Marilyn has quite a powerful voice, and I remember the first time she came, she sang the Holy City, and it would have made the back of your neck stand up. I remember that meeting very well. It was just a time of real blessing. I don't know if she's going to sing or not. I can ask her if you like, and we'll see what she does. She's going to sing, and of course the other people that remain are Joseph Kennaway and his wife Sandra. And they're going to do duets, and they come from Randallstown. And by the way, Marilyn comes from Dungannon. But Joseph is a great pianist, and he's going to play for the whole service as well. So that's really about it. Hopefully next Saturday night I'll have the annual subscription letter for anyone who wants to take that with them. It's just a wee special envelope that members really want to sort of be alienated themselves with the Christian Origin as a sort of an interested person or a member. You can take that with you and read an update of what's been happening throughout the year, and also if you want to give a wee gift for the mission book. So that's all I'm going to say, and I'll leave it now for Gary to come back, and of course Pastor Thomas going to come and to continue with the service. Thank you again.
Say one more little chorus, please, and then hand over to Father Tommy for the testimony tonight. I'm going to sing a song called Mercy, Rewrote My Life, and may it be number one. It's a lovely little chorus.
For years I traveled.
Praise the Lord. Lord bless each one this evening that's come out, and I want to thank Sister Mavis for this opportunity to come and share my testimony. And I see a few people, Brother, I haven't saw in here, sir, God bless you, Brother. And you know, everyone that's saved has a testimony. And everybody's testimony is different. But to have a testimony, I must be coming to Christ to get that testimony. And I just want the Lord to give me wisdom tonight on what I'm to share. And I'm not here to glorify the sins of my past, but I'm here to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. But I want you to get a picture of the life I lived, to get a picture of what the Lord brought me out of. And I want to really try and bear across in this service tonight that no matter what condition any man or woman's in, Christ can save them. No matter where it's drugs or drink, prostitution, or anything at all, or paramilitaries or anything, God can bring men and women out. And I believe that Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ is the same. Yesterday, today, and forever, that he never changes. And it's him that I'm really here to talk about tonight. I'm not here to talk about Tommy McKinstry, but I'm here to talk about the Lord Jesus Christ and what he done for Tommy McKinstry. I want to read with you this evening from Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. Maybe we could stand just to give reverence to the Word of God. I often say, you know, the Queen was here, but stand for the Queen. Well, I believe the King of Kings is here, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we should reverence him and stand before him, those that's able to stand. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I want to read also from Isaiah, and this would be the key scripture, Isaiah chapter 1. Verse 18 and verse 19, and if I had a scripture that transformed me, this is the scripture. Isaiah 1, verse 18. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red as crimson, they shall be as the wool. If you be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured with a sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. I want to just ask again for the Lord's help and prayer this evening. Father, we humbly do bow before you tonight in the lovely name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for this opportunity that we could come in this wee CWU hall. We bless your name for this work in this building. And we thank you this evening that we can uplift the name that is above every other name, the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, I'm asking you this evening that you'll help us. I'm asking you this evening that you bring to remembrance everything that you would want Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. It's really hard to know where to start, but I guess if I try to start from the beginning, and I won't try and hold this too long, you know. My birthday was just a couple of days ago. I'm in my 50s. I know I don't look a bit of it, but that's right. You know, when I think back at some of the preachers that I heard years ago, and I thought they were fair-aged men, and now I'm older than them. And I was always referring to the young preacher, and I've been preaching now for over 30 years. Just to give you a little background, I pastor a little church outside Van Bridge. It's called Omega Ministries, and the word Omega is just for end time. We believe we're certainly at the end time. And he is the Alpha and Omega. And I've been pastoring there since the early 90s, 94 we started. And I traveled to many parts of the world on missionary work, many times to Africa. My first missionary trip was actually in 1991. I went for a 2 week mission trip down through the south of Ireland into France and into Switzerland and then into Czechoslovakia. And the plan was for 2 weeks to the youth camp in Czechoslovakia. But I ended up, that 2 weeks became 6 months. And I never come home for 6 months. And I ended up in America, back in Switzerland, in Czechoslovakia, and so many testimonies what I could share this evening from that very first experience. Then of many times I've been to Africa, especially Zimbabwe, when Mugabe was in full power. And I thank the Lord in Zimbabwe, I saw many people see it. And one of the trips in 2008, in 14 services, we had almost 800 conversions for Christ in 14 services. And that was just one of the trips. The Lord really worked in a wonderful way. And I received a message just several weeks ago from a man over there. And he said the work of God that really began back then is still going. And so many things that the Lord's done. But when I share with you this evening what I came from and where I was, I never thought myself that God would use me to preach the gospel. I never thought myself that I would ever travel anywhere. The biggest boat I was ever on was a wee fishing boat. Was hardly ever on a train or anything like that. And yet, by the God's grace, I've traveled to the far ends of the earth, New Zealand. Been there as well. Australia. I was brought up in a home where my father, when I look back, and my father was a man that was an evangelist. He went full time in evangelistic work in Cork, but I can't remember that. I was just a boy. That would have been in the 60s. And my father backslid. And I don't want to go into too many details of that tonight, but my father backslid. There was two men that he really looked up to, and they were actually two devils. That's really what they were. And the Bible warns us that there's a lot of people cloaked as angels of light, but they're not. They're of the devil. And we know Satan himself is transformed as an angel of light. But these men, they really destroyed him, and he backslid for 18 years. But we were brought up in a home, my mother always prayed for us. And even though the men didn't go to church, and I want to say this evening, my wee mother's at the back. I never saw her drunk in my life. I never heard her curse or any of them things. And I remember her praying for us as wee boys. And I thank the Lord for that tonight. You know, one of the greatest preachers that this country ever seen was a man called William Mullen. And when William Mullen was 8 years of age, his father lifted him in his arms. And his father never ever saw William Mullen again. He died at the Battle of the Somme. And William Mullen's mother used to leave She said, Lord, one day, Mick Riley, man of God. You know, William Mullen used to 500 people would come to this midweek Bible study in Lurgan. I tell you, you wouldn't get 500 at a Bible study today. People in the land of Ulster and Ireland, whatever you want to call it, tonight have drifted away from the things of God and what it used to be. And if ever God's people needed to unite and throw aside all the labels, it's today on united prayer for the mighty move of God in these evil times. I was sent along to Sunday school. We went to the Free Presbyterian Sunday school. I remember as a wee boy watching Ian Paisley stand in Dromore, and a wee blue cabinet was a pigeon club owned it after that. And I remember Ian Paisley preaching, and I was only a wee boy. I remember going along to Sunday school, and perhaps maybe Craig was a man said to me, you know, you made a decision, Tommy, as a wee fella in Sunday school, and maybe I did, but you know, sometimes children can pray and make decisions, and sometimes it's genuine, and sometimes it's not. The Spirit of God has to move on a person for them to really perceive it. And if the Spirit of God doesn't move on a person, then they're not really seeing it. But you know, as I grew up and got older, I was took to meetings at Mother Farnigan Gospel Hall, and I thank God for the brethren people tonight. And I was took along to Mother Farnigan Gospel Hall, and the wee man preached to her. And he didn't think his meeting was very successful, because there was nobody saved. It was the winter of 1984, and I remember it was one of the last nights of the meeting. And there was a heavy fall of snow, I'll never forget it. It was about 1984, so I was about 15 years of age. And he brought me home in her Mercedes car, yellow car, and we parked at my grandparents' house. I used to stay with my grandparents just outside of Dromore. And I said to this man, I said, Norman, I can't get out of this car tonight till I get right with God. And the man preached, Reverend, he preached that Christ died for me. And that Christ died to save me, that Christ died that I could be go to heaven and my sins could be forgiven. And I come under conviction. I might have prayed before when I was younger, but here was conviction. And I couldn't leave that card. I got called on the name of the Lord and was saved. You know, remember that man saying he really didn't know what to do with me. He said, well, I'll take you to this man or that man. And I said, I don't want to go to any man. I need to come to the Lord. And I went on for quite a time and went to the brethren. And I really loved going to the meetings. And I'll say this, you know, in my testimony, and I always tell it. I used to work for a man and clean out cab houses for him on Saturday, and then I got £5. £5 then wasn't bad, you know, £5 wouldn't be much now. My children now, if you give them a fiver, they would look at me. But I worked all day to get £5. And I remember a wee man called Joe Pouch. And Joe Pouch come down to me and he says, younger kids, friend, I see you're coming to the meetings. And I said, I am, so. And he said, I see you wear a pair of boots to the meetings. And I said, that's right, Joe. I've no shoes. And he says, there you are. And he got into his car and off he went. And he asked what size it would be. And I told him, I wasn't even sure. Whatever size I told him. And you know, I wasn't away 5 minutes till the people I was working for gave him a real good revving up. And by what they didn't call him. Oh, yes. They were met of a great Christian people. I know this is a terrible thing to tell in your testimony, but the for me. And Joe gave me them pair of shoes. And I cried when he gave me them. And I wore them shoes to the Bible study and the prayer meeting. And I'm not saying they were supernatural shoes. You know, there were shoes in the Bible and clothes that never waxed for 40 years. You know about that. I tell you, they're very good wore them. But I wore them pair of shoes to the Philippine no longer. And I gave them to the cousin of mine called John Kirkin. And he wore them too. They were powerful shoes. And Joe brought me them shoes. When I tell my testimony, Joe has to be mentioned for buying me them shoes. You know why? For there's a wee scripture saying, and as much as you've did it unto the least of these, my little ones, you've done it unto me. I went on well with the Lord for some time, and several years, and I went to all the Bible studies. Then my uncle, by the Pentecostal, took me from the Brethren to the Pentecostals. You know, when we got everything, a Baptist, Pentecostal, Brethren, all mixed in. You know, but as long as you're saved, that's the main thing. Praise God. But you know what, if any of this, this is a sad part, but my testimony, and I hope this evening, maybe if there's a backslider in this room, or some of you will hear the message. The Northwest Races was coming up, and everybody here would know about the Northwest Races. And I had friends who were going to the Northwest, and they were all going, they were taking drink. And I said, boys, I don't drink. And they said, well, Tom, get yourself a bottle of cider. There's no alcohol in it. But there is. But Tom didn't realize there was alcohol in cider. But the devil knew what he was doing. And I went to the boys, to the racers, and I got the bottle of cider, and I drank the bottle of cider. And you know what happened? Tom was drunk. And the devil condemned me. And he condemned me that much, I backslid. And he never went to another meeting. And I stopped praying. And I stopped reading the Bible. And my life swirled worse and worse. You never knew to see it. And you know, a backslidden man's worse than a man that's not even saved. I want you to know that. And I was away from the things of God. And I started to do robberies. And the robberies started out to steal the radio. And the radio grew till it became a car. Then I got involved with boys with guns. And we started to do armed robberies. And I got involved with fellas that are not even here tonight. They're gone. And my life got worse and worse and worse. And it got so bad, I thought there's no turning. Didn't care about anything no more. Didn't care about it or that. And I got in trouble with the police, and the police rounds or more, for I come from a no man. And I got in trouble with the police, and ended up in jail, in Hangout Jail. And I'm not going to go into all the details of all the bad things I've done. And maybe any of you, if you've ever heard my testimony before, I make sure I won't think, but I just want to do what I feel led of the Lord tonight. But I get so down and into Hangout Jail, and none of my friends come near me in jail. My so-called big chums never come near me once in jail. And I was suicidal in jail. I thought nobody loves me. And you know the suicide rate in Ireland today is terrible. The young people today, the devil tells them nobody loves you. And they take their lives. And I know what that's like, I was in their shoes. And I remember a lot to myself at night, and my whole life came before me. It was like watching a movie. gave myself for you. I hear people telling stories where God fed them at different times, and they gossip out and swing around the light snow, but I can assure you, I didn't do any of that. I was scared stiffless. And the one thing you know, a big fella 6 foot had to come in, it wouldn't have feared me one bit. It wouldn't have worried me. It's no fear in nothing like that with any man. But this and I strode in the bed. And I don't know how long I was like that for a minute. Just was there, frozen in the bed and crying. And eventually I slipped out of the bed onto my knees and repented. Crying out to the Lord. Ask the Lord to forgive me for all the things I've done. The life I've lived. He saved me. You know, I drank one night and I saw a lot of African people, and I was standing in front of the preacher, and it's happened to them. We began to pray in the living room, pray in the house, started to go back to church, seek the things of God. Some of my brothers started getting saved, you know. That's what happens when you start praying. There's only one cure for your home, prayer. There's only one cure for the wee lad and drugs, prayer. There's only one cure for the wee girl and the drunkard, prayer. Prayer's the answer. When my people will humble themselves and fast and pray, then they'll hear from heaven. God. We began to pray. My brother Philip could see it. I remember my brother Ian, he was at that age. Big, tough, hard fella. You know how it is, I'm sure. Somebody is here tonight, his sons, and they'll see it. You know, no matter how hard you are, it'll all some by heart. I'll tell you that. But God can melt the hardest. My brother was going out and getting drunk and getting in trouble. And I could see it, for I knew it. I walked that road. And I got a hold of him one night. I said to him, I'm going to tell you a wee thing. I've claimed you for the Lord. And he said to me, what are you talking about? I said, I've claimed you for the Lord. And God saved him. And he's one of the elders in our church today. And he shared his own testimony at many a place and preached as well. And his wife saved as well. Him and his wife came with me one night down to James McCann's. And my brother's wife was only going to school at that time. They were only young ones. And she got saved that night in the service. I'll never forget it. And the night she got saved, he went clean back. But the Lord got a hold of him, and the Lord saved him. I want to tell you this evening, God didn't just change me, transformed me. Transformed me. The Bible says we're dead in sin, we're sheeping in iniquity, but when the Spirit of God moves in a man, moves in a woman, they're born again. It's not turning over on your knee. You're a new creature in Christ Jesus. A new creature in the Lord. I tell you, the Lord moved in our home. And my father served the Lord from that day. And not only did my father serve the Lord, he was an elder in our church for near 30 years. And in 2016, I had a great privilege that me and him went together to Australia and New Zealand. And we preached around different churches. And we saw people saved by the grace of God. I tell you, God's no respecter of persons. Dear man, dear woman, the saved in many even in this service. Many are not saved. Many are backslidden. The Lord loves you tonight. The devil wants to condemn you. The devil wants to tell you there's no hope for you. There's no chance for you. But there's mercy with the Lord. Blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses from all sin. You know, there was a great man of God, I think it was Martin Luther. And the story's told that Martin Luther was at his desk. And the devil appeared to him with a big long list. And they said that Luther sins on this list. And Luther said, is that the law? And he said, yes, that's your sin. Luther, and they say he took a pen of his desk, it would have been a quill, a Dutch fireman, what they used to make the pens from, and he dipped it in his ink and he wrote on it, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses me from all sin. Brother, you're forgiven tonight. God remembers your sins no more. forgiven. Christ loves you tonight. God so loved the world, John 3:16. But what about verse 17? God sent not a son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Now let me just share a few more things and then I'm going to come down this evening. You know, because of the life I lived, I go to jail in 1989. But the Lord got a hold of me. The Lord got a grip on me. When my friends came over the hill and met from Park, I lived in the Lord, I told them, I'm never going to you no more. I've got saved. Let me tell you this evening, friends. They came to me in a murder bag, two of them. And this one man, if I was to mention his name, I would dare say people's heard of it. In this country, he was a bad lad. And he's dead. He was shot not very long ago, over in Wernstown. He was my mate. Many a night I stayed in his house. And I told him I could see, and the fellow with him laughed at me. You know what he said? He said, Tommy, you're right. He tried to get saved many times, but couldn't do it. You see, there's a time where you could spurn the Spirit of God for the last time. God calls once, yet twice. And I'm a firm believer this evening, and I read you deliberately from Isaiah 1 right down to verse 20. But if you refuse and rebel, I believe God spoke that to me. God gave me a choice. Come and serve me, or you'll be cut off. But you know, your sins will catch up with you. David's sins come up with him. They come up with him. You remember the Hittite dying in the forefront of the battle. His wife is deprived of the child died. His sins come up with him. But you read in the book of Psalms, he's a man after God's own heart. You know why? Because he repented. He asked for forgiveness. And the Lord forgave him. I'll tell you this before I close this evening. I had a list of convictions. I'm not going to go into them tonight. And a policeman come to my door and put the questions to me. I said, I'm not answering anything. And he said, well, it's going to court. And I remember coming in and I remember saying to the dad, Dad, what am I going to do? And he said, Tommy, do you see that book? And he put his hand on the Bible. He said, if you're going to live by that book, you know what you have to do, and that's tell the truth. So I was facing another jail sentence. Over a year after I was right with God, over a year after serving God, I was facing a jail sentence. I'm going to tell you this. And the man went on to the glory, James McConnell, Pastor James McConnell. My uncle, and that's Gary's father, Brother Gary's a full cousin of mine, his father's my uncle. Bobby would have took me after I could see down to Whitewell's on a Sunday night in a nice red BMW car. I used to love going down with him. And if he didn't go down early, I wouldn't have got a seat. Now I went back to the early 90s in the league, but 1990, around that time, 91 was when I got the second time in jail. No, sorry, 1990. So it was a year later. But I remember sitting in the balcony in the Whitewell Church, the old church, and Pastor McConnell was preaching in full flight. And I wasn't hearing what he's preaching because all this was in me. I'm facing jail. What am I going to do? I'm facing jail, and what am I going to do? Pastor preaching. And he just pointed spirit, mind, the body. There's no way he knew me. I didn't go to that church, only the odd Sunday night, Bobby would have took me. There must have been near 2,000 there. It was packed. Remember that Pacific network? In every room, every corner, everywhere was full. He said, there's a man sitting in the balcony. And your feet are due, and the Lord's told you. Yeah. I see a man over you. That's what the Lord works. He said, the Lord's told you. And they'll preach in different parts of the world. And he said, the Lord's presence will be with you in a very special way in jail. And I was put into Hank Crumlin Road Jail. 1990, the Crumlin Road Jail. When you went to the Crumlin Road Jail, used to be your strip down and the mark of your tattoos and all them scars, you know, and the check you all over and all the rest of it, and then you put you in a certain part for so many days and you put out into the wings. They put me in with this big fella, the party shouldn't have been put in with them. And this big fella never left a shelf on the walls or a thing in that cell, but he smashed it. The wardens, they used to call them screws, that was a nickname. He broke their fingers, he done all sorts of stuff. That's who they put me in with. Now, I know I'm not a wee fella, but he was bigger than me. And you have to understand, back then I was a lot slimmer and just a young fella. And you know, when they put me in with them, I'm going to tell you, this is the truth. I got down onto my knees at the side of the bed. I never even said hello to them. I got down onto my knees at the side of the bed and I began to pray. And I started to pray in the Lord and I forgot all about the boy in the cell. And I forgot I was even in jail. I forgot about everything. I was going praying. And I don't know how long I prayed for. But when I got up on my knees, he was on his knees. And the Lord was wet with tears. And that big fella cried out to God and he got saved. And he says to me, there'll never be a man put his hand on you while I'm with you in this jail. And I says to myself, I'd well believe it. Look at the size of him. And you know, me and him used to open the bars at the night in the Crumlin Road Jail and preach out through them. Then after several days, they came and said, we made a bad mistake. You should never have been in with him. Nobody's allowed to go in with him. But I was put in with him. But the Lord was with me. What James McConnell said happened. And I was moved down to another part of the jail. And I was made orderly because of good behavior. And when you're right in the board, what religion are you? I just put born again Christian. That's my religion. That's what was on the board. The top man in the IRA called the meeting in the Crumlin Road Jail, and I was brought into it. And he said to me, we've been watching you. And he said, there's something different about you. We know that you're sincere. And he said, you'll be able to go anywhere you want in here. Nobody will ever touch you. And that's exactly the way it was. And I tell you, when I would go down for breakfast in the morning, there was men in jail because of the things they'd done, robbing, drinking, and many of them came to the Lord and got saved in the Crumlin Road Jail. There was no fancy televisions in the room like they had now. There's an iron pipe went through the back of it. You had an iron brown blanket and it was cut in pieces, laying on it. There was nothing nice about it, but the Lord was with me. And I came out of the jail and went on my first missionary trip just shortly after. And I know the time's short and I'm going to have to close in a moment. I remember out in, we drove down through the Rocky Mountains in America. I preached in Skyler, Nebraska, Oklahoma, California, Mexico. They took me out to a rehabilitation center in Mexico, it was for drug addicts. And we seen God move in a very special way and people could see it. And I remember one of our journeys, we were traveling in the big van. There was like a camper van. Never forget this, I remember in a shop. Something inside of me said, I want you to talk to that wee woman in the shop. And I'm saying to myself, you know, I couldn't talk to her. Well, my accent. And you know, if you're from Northern Ireland here, you don't think you have an accent, you go somewhere. Then you need a three interpreters. We talk quick, you know, in this country. But I said, you know, how could I talk to our Lord? But you know, by the time I got to the counter, I bought a pair of sunglasses. And I got up to the counter and nobody else seemed to come into the shop. And I got to talking to her and I said, you know, I'm here in evangelistic work. And she started to cry. She says, I was praying this morning, God would send somebody to talk to me. She says, my daughter's dying right now while we're talking. And I said, well, I'll pray with her, for her. And I said, are you saved? She said, I'm not saved. And I said, would you want to get saved? And she said, I would. And she came to the Lord right in that shop. And I prayed for a daughter as well, right in the shop. And nobody came into that shop the whole time I was in it. I could tell you so many testimonies tonight. Let us stand on our feet this evening. As we come to the close of the service tonight, and I hope I've said something that would help someone. I want to tell you that Christian life's not an easy life, but it's the only life. Maybe we could close our eyes tonight, every head bowed, praying for the Lord this evening. If there's someone in this room tonight and maybe you're not saved, you've never really trusted Christ or give your life to the Lord, would you be willing to trust the Lord tonight? Would every head bowed, every eye closed? Would you just lift your hand up on this thing as a sign to God? I'm not going to embarrass you when you're called over the air or anything. But if there's someone tonight in this service, maybe a backslider tonight, need to come back to the Lord. I tell you, the Lord can restore you. And the Lord can save you. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Heavenly Father, we just thank you this evening that you're a Savior for no one but sinners. For this reason was the Son of God manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus Christ that you will defeat the work of the devil in every life in this room tonight. Pray for every man and woman under this roof and those that's on their hearts tonight, that you'll bring deliverance in Jesus Christ's name. Lord, we know you make no mistakes, that you know our end from the beginning. Whom you did foreknow, then you also did predestine to become the sons of God. We bless you tonight. I ask you to give the sign of grace to men and